find out what you've been missing in your life with A Balanced Life, featuring Beth Aldrich and Tracy Mallett. They'll show you how to savor your life. Each episode is filled with energized conversations featuring insightful and informative expert guests who will teach you practical ways to nourish and invigorate your life so you can experience health, balance, and vitality every day. You'll find yourself smiling as you experience the liveliness and charismatic wit between Beth, Tracy, and their guests. What makes you happy, healthy, and feeling alive? Spend an hour with Beth and Tracy and find out. We're happy you're here.
Welcome, everybody, to A Balanced Life. I'm Tracy Mallett, and my co-host, Beth Aldrich, will be joining me very shortly. And I am super excited today because we have one of my favorite people in the fitness industry. She is a world-renowned fitness icon and a good friend, Tamalee Webb.
She Hello. Good morning, Tracy.
Hello. It's so great to have you on the show.
For having me.
Well, we are excited to talk to you about your new releases, and I'm just going to tell the viewers a little bit about Tamalee, and I'm sure everybody knows exactly who she is, but Tamalee has a master's degree in exercise science. She has taken her knowledge to both the professional and the consumer when it comes to training the body to be fit and healthy. Best known for her brand, Buns of Steel, and I can contest to that. She definitely has a butt of steel, and it's fabulous. Tamalee continues to produce award-winning products herself and other fitness artists. In 2008, Tamalee was inducted into the Fitness Hall of Fame alongside Jane Fonda, Kathy Smith, and Gilad. Welcome to the show, Tamalee.
Thanks. It's so nice to hear you. I need to see you more often, though.
We spend our lives talking over the telephone, so this is like nothing new for us, is it?
Yes.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, and I know we've never spoke about this, about the Fitness Hall of Fame. I'm sure as any fitness professional, I would say this is probably one of the biggest honors to actually achieve. I mean, how did you feel when you got nominated for this?
Well, I guess when you've been in it this long, they have to, but... You know, at first, I had been nominated like 3 years prior to it, and they need you to send in all this stuff, and I never heard of it, so I just kind of put it aside and ignored it. And finally, by the third year, they said, okay, just we'll fill out everything for you. Just please, you know, send A, B, and C. I said, oh, okay. And so it is great honor to be there with, you know, some of those that have paved the way, and you know, it's nice because in our fitness industry, I'm not sure that everybody realizes, you know, what we do when we've been in it so long and what we do, that it's really recognized in a Hall of Fame. I didn't even know it had existed, but now I do.
I think in general, most people out there have no idea what we actually do. I think they think we just get in front of a camera and look like a little you know, bouncy up and down. One, two, three, four.
Lunges, yeah, dance moves.
What I appreciate about you more than anything, being an inspiration to me, is that you've got it all. You've got the brains, the beauty, but you've also got the sound knowledge, and you also have the business sense, because without all those together, it's very hard to rise to the top when you're in an abundance of trainers and people just like ourselves, and you've managed to do that. If there was somebody out there who was an aspiring fitness artist, what one little bit of information or a little bit of tip you would throw out there to people?
Well, first, thanks for the compliment, but you know, I think it's just the desire. When someone has a passion and a desire to do what we do, it shows. It comes through. They may not know all the directions or where to go, but that's kind of how it is when you start out. And you just start pulling in resources and knocking on doors. And I know that I had contacted Kathy Smith. She was kind of my mentor, and she was so kind to offer me, you know, suggestions and support and motivation. And that's what I wanted to do for others, is look, you know, learn from those of us that have already been there. And yes, things do change, but why make the same mistakes? And if this can help you, then fabulous. But it's a desire. It's that passion. And when you have that, it all starts coming together because you want to be the very best that you can be for others, as well as for yourself. And so you start, you know, in some area, you go over here and then you realize, wow, maybe I need to look over in this area. And then, wow, maybe I need to have this degree, or I need to have this knowledge, or I need to know this person. And
right.
And as you know, as we get further along, it is about our resources. And
it is about the resources. But for you, you do have that passion, and you can tell the people that do have the passion that don't, and you have that tenacity, and that's why you've been so successful, I think. You would agree? Of course.
Well, thank you. I definitely have the passion. I love helping people, and if it's through, you know, fitness, then that's, I guess, what, you know, the universe has given me to share. So I'm very grateful for that.
Now let's talk a little bit about Buns of Steel, because you are the Buns of Steel gal. And do you ever get tired of being called Tamalee the Buns of Steel gal? I mean, do you ever get tired of that?
No, I at first, it was, I never thought I'd be known for, you know, my backside, since I was teased about it when I was little. But of course, you know, the jokes on my brothers. But no, because it's, if that's, you know, the way that people can relate, then okay.
But, exactly, whatever works, right?
I guess whatever works.
And was it Kathy Smith that helped you start that DVD? How did you get into being picked for the Buns of Steel? I mean, how did that come about?
No, it wasn't. It was actually, I don't know if you remember, but I know you'll remember this name because they're so out there now. Spry Products.
Yes.
They are a company that provides a lot of the equipment that many of us fitness people use. And when I was doing the book, when I first wrote my first book, the original rubber band workout, I had to find bands that could go in the book that were actually workout bands and not just office supply bands. And I had met Steve Block, who was the founder of Spry Products. And he ended up being like my big brother. And since then, you know, Spry has gone on, and we lost Steve about 5 years ago to an aneurysm. And I'm ever so grateful, because it was he who said to the producer, who said, I've got to shoot this video Buns of Steel, and I've got to find a person that has Buns of Steel, that knows fitness, and that's good on camera. He goes, well, I have the perfect girl for you, and recommended me, and that was it, I guess. So
yeah,
that's how it evolved.
That is so, I just love those videos, and I know absolutely everybody out there knows Buns of Steel, and I think it was such a pivotal point in the fitness industry. It really helped launch then the VHS market, correct?
Yeah, I think it was, you know, the timing was right, and it also was nice to be able to have a real professional on the video, as opposed to, you know, a lot of times back in those days, they would just hire a good-looking girl that had a nice body that looked sexy and could do something, as opposed to trusting us professionals that maybe we could actually do it. And it certainly evolved, but it was the name itself, and a lot of people don't know this, Tracy. A lot of people have really no idea the history of Buns of Steel. And so they'll email me and they say, but I want the original one. And I want to say, okay, so my first original one was called Buns of Steel 3. So
oh,
if it
really?
Was 3, there was a couple before that. Buns of Steel was originated in Alaska by a guy named Greg Smithy.
And
Greg Smithy had some health clubs up in Alaska. And one day, this is how he tells me the story, that a student just said, well, you've got Buns of Steel. And he thought, wow, that's a great name. So he used the name, and he videotaped himself, and he looked like a young Chuck Norris, and he had a, you know, a headband on, and he had the shorts and some leg warmers, and he looked pretty funny. But keep in mind, this was back in the 80s.
And great. I just love it. You can just imagine how he looked, right, can't you, with the big
mouth? Yeah, and anyway, he had some issues that came up, and he had to regroup and leave the country. So he gave the video to somebody that helped get it, you know, out there, and it had him on the cover, and it did well in San Francisco. And they thought, well, let's repackage it with a woman. So they put a woman on it, and she was just a bodybuilder and her body, and it did a little better. And then they decided, well, let's do another one, and let's put a woman on the cover, and let's have a woman video. And so they did that, and it didn't do all that great. I think it was a person that maybe wasn't marketable. And then I came in on the third one. And then from that was the, you know, then I was asked to do abs of steel, arms of steel, legs of steel, thighs of steel. I'm like, I'm running out of body parts. And then they said, okay, we're going to do the Platinum Series, and we're going to have two other instructors with you. And the Platinum Series got, you know, really up on the production, because the first ones, the productions were not very good at all. And I didn't produce those, okay? I just want you all to know. I did not produce those. Then when we went to the Platinum Series, I had just finished shooting ESPN Fitness Pros. I don't know. Do you remember that?
Oh, I remember that. You know what? When I was in the UK, I used to watch that all the time.
Yeah. Well, and we were all instructors. We were real professional instructors, and it was a great group. And so I thought I had a little time to pull together a group to do the Platinum Series, and I said, I'm just going to ask Donna and Tracy to do it with me, because we just got off of you know, 2 weeks of shooting with ESPN. We know each other, you know, so well, and I thought we were good together. And so I asked them to do it, and they were successful.
Okay. Did you say Tracy? Was that Tracy York?
Tracy York and Donna Richardson.
Oh, wow. That's very interesting. I didn't know any of that.
Yes, there's a whole history there, and it's just fabulous, because it helps so many people along the way. Buns of Steel is just a, you know, it is an icon, and every day, Tracy, I am sent emails or phone calls asking for those original workouts that were on VHS, which are now, you know, passé, and their tape is worn out. They want it on DVD, and that is why my new release is the re-release of Buns of Steel. And I put them in a collection, but only released three in the first volume. So there's my first one, Buns 3, there's Abs of Steel 1, and Arms and Abs of Steel.
That is so amazing. Can we talk a little bit about this? We're just going to go to a commercial break. I am so excited that you brought the DVDs out, because I always get people calling me, asking me, do you know Tamalu? And I'll say, yeah, she's a friend of mine. Well, has she released those DVDs? And I'm like, I think so. So I should listen to the radio show today. So we're just going to go to a commercial break, and we'll be back very shortly.
All right.
ForHerInformation.com online magazine is the place to be for hip, conscious-minded women. You can find information, ideas, and solutions that can improve your life and the planet. Explore the variety of articles, the It Girl column, radio show archives, and recent television clips, all designed with you in mind, the hip, conscious-minded woman. ForHerInformation.com features a link to the Green Mom blog, written by founder Beth Aldrich, where you'll find tons of great ideas and product tips that are mindful of the planet and you. ForHerInformation.com. Log on today and read what you've been missing.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you. So next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
TeenMallet.com is an online community for fitness improvement, sexy lifestyle upgrades, and a training ground for a new, healthier you. It's also a place where you can interact with others who, like you, are actively working and striving toward the same goals. Join Tracy Mallett, international fitness and lifestyle expert, and a growing group of women who want to stay fit, healthy, and achieve personal satisfaction with their bodies and lives through healthy living. Tracy Mallett is the author of Sexy and Six, Super Fit Mama, and over 17 home exercise DVDs, including Lose That Belly Flab and 6-Minute Quick Blast Calorie Blast. Join TeamMallet.com today and find the new you together.
Welcome back to A Balanced Life. I have Tamma Lee on the line right now. And just before we go back to talk to her, I just want to let you guys know exactly where you can get all her fabulous products and books, including her new re-release, Guns of Steel, which we're going to be talking just a little bit more about that. It's TammaLeeWeb.com. That's TammaLeeWeb.com. And I always spell out the name because everyone always gets my name spelled incorrectly. And I'm sure Tamma Lee has the same problem.
Yes. I want to say hello, everyone. I'm finally here. It's Beth.
So I just wanted to ask you a question. Why would you bring these old workouts back at this time? Is the time right? And what have you done to change the workouts? I can see you have this little challenge at the end, and I'm really curious about what that exactly is.
Well, the reason I brought it back is because every day I was bombarded with emails and phone calls about asking, you know, do I have these on DVDs? When are they going to be released? And I always let, I believe that the consumer, I always call them my workout buddies, tell me what I should be doing next. And they were telling me that I need to bring this stuff back. And it's really not so easy because you got to remember a lot of these were made in the late 80s or early 90s. So these are big old masters that are in arcades at Warner. So it took a lot to dig and find them and, you know, blow off the dust and then convert them. And I realized that there's a, you know, it's a supply and demand. There's a demand for it.
Tammy Lee, I have to say.
I released it last month. I did a pre-order, and then they were shipped out on the 30th. And, I mean, orders just, you know, kept coming through. But I'm doing all of this myself. I don't have a big, big company that is, you know, putting it out there and getting it, you know, well-known. This is all on my own, all on my own. And so it's taken a little bit longer. But what I learned was that not only are my workout buddies telling me what it is that they want, I'm realizing that the packaging, I don't know if you've seen the packaging, but
yes,
the packaging isn't right. And it isn't right because people relate to their favorite workout by visual. It's the box. And the boxes are on the back cover. So yesterday I just had my designer redesign the image so that I can change it, and it's going to have the three box covers on the front of the box now. Because what they're thinking is that this is just another new Buns of Steel. That's not what they want. They don't want new Buns of Steel workouts.
No. They want the original.
They want the original. And even
I remember my Buns of Steel from seventh grade.
They keep asking me, is this the original?
Love it.
So I got to tell you guys, it was a little nerve-wracking going in and editing these because, you know, as we put them on DVD, we have a menu. And I wanted to break them up so that you could go straight to, you know, I want to do this part of the workout. Instead of, you know, remember the original workouts on video, you had to fast forward or rewind or find it, right?
Yeah.
So I'm editing them, and I'm sitting there, and I'm watching myself. And, of course, back then, I always thought, oh, I'm just not, you know I could be in better shape. I know I could do this better. I'm looking at myself going, damn, girl, what were you thinking? You were in
not
shape then.
Well,
and now I have to stand up next to myself 20 years ago. That was nerve-wracking.
Now,
you are so cute.
What do you feel like when you do these workouts? Are they just as challenging for you, or do you feel like they're just like riding a bike? You hop back on quickly. What would you say for those of us who've done them
very
for years?
Very good question, Beth, because somebody, I was talking to one of my workout buddies, and she was just going on and on about Buns of Steel 3. My first one. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to pull that video out and do my workout. I was so sore the next day. Now, I work out all the time, but I was sore the next day.
All right.
Well, okay, there is something here. So when you ask, you know, Tracy, about the challenge, so I wanted to be able to give them something new. So in there, what I did is I put this little segment for those of you that have been working out with me for the past 20 years, then let's challenge you on this workout. You can do exactly the same workout, but by adding a form of, equipment, then you're going to increase the intensity of the workout. Here's an example. So on arms and abs of steel, I'm sitting in a chair whenever I do the upper body workout. And then I get on the floor and I do the abs. Then I get back up and I do it on the chair. So I challenge them to do it on a stability ball.
Mm, well, that's a good idea.
So now if you're sitting on the stability ball, you, as we know, you've got to now work your core muscles for balance. You got to work a little bit harder. And then also use the ball for the abdominals. So put your foot, you know, your feet up on the ball while you're doing the abdominals. That's
how
the challenge.
The ball. Which
and then
right,
I said, now if you want, and so I don't do the whole workout again doing the exercises with the equipment. I just show them what they can do with it. And
for
then
variation.
Said, if that's not enough, get a BOSU and stand on the BOSU when you do the upper body. Because now it takes more balance.
Right. You've put a lot of work into this, Tamalee. You really have. And I know your hard work is all going to pay off. Can you let the viewers know exactly where they can buy these DVDs, Bung? Because I know you're going to have a queue of orders of everybody wanting to buy these.
Oh, yeah.
Well, right now, like I said, because I'm doing all the marketing, you can get it on my website, which is TammyLeeWeb.com, or because, Tracy, as you know, some people kind of mess up your spelling of your name. You can also go to, I think it's Web Workout, with two Bs, though, Web Workout.
Love that idea.
That's
cute.
Isn't that new,
Tammy?
Clever.
Web workout. No, I've had it for a long time because people just, you know, they're like tamale tea, you know. So Google's picking up on it. I mean, even if you just spell my name,
That's
even if you put in Buns of Steel, you will find my name. But you can also get it to Amazon. And then I know Collage is going to have it soon. But what I'm trying to do is create an online marketing first before we go to retail. And the reason, which you can relate to this, is that retail now looks at us as seasonal. They think fitness is seasonal.
Yeah. Tamalee, it's very hard as fitness professionals as we are, and that's why at the beginning when I said you have to be business savvy now to get product out, because retail is closing down and it's very seasonal. And so, but people out there who are into fitness do seek workouts all year round, because we want to make sure people are working out all year round, not just in January.
Right.
Not just to get in.
It's a lifestyle. It's not a, okay, New Year's is here, let's do it again.
Yeah. I love everything about this, Tammy Lee. You know, I'm excited. Now, what I wanted to let our viewers, or rather listeners, know is if you go to Tammy Lee's website, you can order. Can you order it through the website, or do you have an alternative way of doing it?
No. You can order right there on the website.
Perfect.
It's on the home page.
Oh, I love that. So they don't have to hunt around. They can just find it right.
It's right on the home page, and it's that black box that says Buns of Steel.
Okay.
And free shipping this month.
All right. For our listeners listening, I want you to go to TammyLeeWebb.com, TammyLeeWebb.com. Click on the black box, Buns of Steel, and you'll be able to get your videos. I just wanted to tell you, I'm sorry I was a couple minutes late. I had an important meeting this morning, Tammy Lee, but it's been such a pleasure having you on the show. I was listening while I was driving in, and I must tell you that I commend you. I thank you for giving me such a hot body when I was in junior high.
Well, thank you.
I got dates.
Thank you, Tammy Lee. It's been a pleasure. You are my inspiration, and I'm so excited for you. And let's just power on through it. And
good luck to you, darling.
Well,
all right,
ladies. And you know what? Keep doing what you're doing. You're empowering, inspiring so many women. And that's all that we need to do, is just really be happy and inspire each other.
Yep.
And it brings us all up another level.
We are as strong as a group than we are individually. And I commend you for that. Bye, sweetheart.
All right.
Have a great day, you guys.
Thank you, Tammy Lee. Well, Tracy, when we come back, we're going to be talking with PR guru Brian Dobson. He is some interesting gentleman. I'm excited to talk to him
because he's supposed to have a really beautiful voice. So
yes, he does. Actually, you know what? I think because I think I just got a note from our director. He is actually on the line. So why don't we just forego our commercial break, if that's okay with you. And I will have him as soon as he can. They'll patch him in on the line so I can tell a little bit about Brian. While we're waiting for Brian to come on the line, I wanted to, Tracy, tell you a little bit about Brian. He's got such an interesting background. Basically, he's considering himself, and from the media, considers him a crisis management expert. He's an accomplished public relations executive with over 20 years of strong experience in corporate crisis and issues management, investor relations, and marketing communications. He's a former journalist who's worked with corporate leaders and others to gain great perspective on the news and its management. And, he's an Army vet who was a correspondent with the 8th Army UN Press Corps when he was younger, before becoming a journalist at the Dow Jones and Reuters. He also ran a pro bono campaign to help vets over the years. And he has really handled crisis PR in what, until this year, was the biggest case in the Department of Justice for history. And he oversaw all the PR for the hottest kids' properties, including ones that you and I are very familiar with being parents, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, really?
And he's for the...
I don't love those.
I know. And when he was a journalist at Dow Jones and the Wall Street Journal, and subsequently at Reuters, he wrote the Daily Stock Market Report and covered the New York Fed. His articles appeared worldwide. And so he's really got a wealth of knowledge about PR. And we're going to talk to him a little bit today about some of the crisis management PR that he's been doing. Brian, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Hi, Beth.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Well,
hey, Brian. It's great to have you. I'm just intrigued to hear your beautiful voice.
All right, say something now. You got to talk.
Well, it's interesting. I was listening to your previous guest, and Tammy Lee Webb, and she hit the nail right on the head when she said that as a small company, she has to listen to her consumers as to how she should change the box and presentation and all of that. Well, companies at every level have to get down to the gut reaction of individuals in small business, and they have to listen to their customers. Toyota did not do that. There are many examples of that.
Well, so, yeah, let's, I don't want to really beat a dead horse, but can we talk about the Toyota situation for a few minutes? Because I do drive a Toyota, and I'm curious as to how this has been going for them and how they're handling it, in your opinion.
Well, they were very, very slow out of the box. That's not unusual for a large corporation, let alone a Japanese corporation. It's almost a little more difficult there. There was a hesitancy to recognize what was going on. They had the information, but they were trying to deal with it and fix the problems, kind of chasing the story.
Right.
It's not unlike Mattel, really. Mattel, a couple of years ago, with the leaded paint and magnet problems.
Right.
Toys, they delayed in recalls. Then when they started the recalls, they did a small recall. Same with Toyota. Then another and another. And when you step those recalls, you hit the press over and over again. And what Toyota did very poorly was involve itself in its own story. When you are not engaged in the story at day one, others are, your critics, competitors, pundits, commenting on what you're doing, how you're doing it, and why you're doing it. Meanwhile, you're back in, you know, kind of out of the loop. So second day, third day, fourth day, you're chasing the story. Well, no, that's not accurate. This is the way it is, and so forth. So
right.
They found themselves in that hole. And there is a crisis predictability in the arc of activities that happens at a major company.
Right.
I mean, crisis can happen at a small company, in a shop, or whatever. It's all relative to the universe you're working in. But the crisis arc in a major corporation with an important product is predictable. It's the delaying of information out to customers, the recalls, the dealing with media, and quite honestly, crisis begets crisis. One leads
right.
to the other.
Kind of like that domino effect.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
That domino effect. So Tracy and I were talking about this earlier before the show. What define to us when you say crisis management?
I would be really interested to hear that. Like, how to define what a crisis is, and when is the right time to, you know, dissolve this crisis?
The right time to resolve the crisis is months and years before it happens.
Yeah, exactly. Can we have a clairvoyance?
I headed public relations at a major corporation. It was a Fortune 50. I was on the crisis committee. Now, that company back in the 80s did not have a crisis committee, but there was an extortion attempt in the UK on one of our subsidiaries, one of the company's subsidiaries. I can't say our subsidiaries, although Mr. Toyota can say that, you know, as the grandson of the founder.
Right.
At any rate, so we formed a crisis committee, and it was really at the top. I mean, I, as head of public relations, I was on the committee, but so too were the vice chairman, the head of finance, chief legal counsel, a head of a unit that we owned in the security business, the Pinkerton chairman, and one of the finest terrorism and corporate crime experts in the world, Brian Jenkins of the Rand Institute. Okay, so that constituted the crisis committee. We went out to every unit, and that included Jim Beam Liquors, it was a tobacco unit, there were food, insurance companies, all kinds of companies. And we posed various questions to them as to how they would get product back, where their product is, what their quality assurances are, how they reach their customers. What we found that in many cases, this preparedness was lacking. Not only how to deal with it, but what to say, how to say it, and so forth. So we got everybody on the same page. And when a company does that, it identifies problem areas. You know, the Socratic method is the Q&A. You know, you ask one question and it leads to an answer. That answer leads to a question and so
forth.
So you go down that line. And in all probability, you will come to very weak points in your organization and you can make a corrective action at that time. Now, that's not to say that Mattel or Toyota or Tylenol or, you know, the McNeil healthcare, consumer healthcare, or Tiger Woods, or any of the crises that are kind of prevalent in the news these days would have been averted because of that preparedness. But it may well have lessened the likelihood, and it certainly would have prepared people to protect the brand and get involved.
Can we talk about Tiger Woods for a minute?
Yeah, I was just saying, can you talk about Tiger Woods?
Sure. I have to tell you, okay, so I have a young son who's 13, and he's a golfer, and he wears everything Tiger.
Right.
And since this incident happened, you know, you can't shield this from young boys' eyes and to explain, you know, someone having such and such with someone in the, you know, Dunkin' Donuts bathroom or whatever, you know, whatever. It's been very hard as a mother to watch this and observe my sons. And my sons are, you know, go to a very strict Catholic school, so on and so forth. So they're considered little gentlemen, blah, blah, blah. So my one son said, Mom, you know what? I'm not wearing his clothes because I don't like the way he treated his wife. How is he ever going to rebound from something like this? And I know he's already played in a tournament and so on and so forth. So, you know, I'd love to hear your take.
How old is your son, Beth? How old is your son?
He's 13. He's 13.
That's a very, very grown-up statement from a 13-year-old. That's wonderful. I mean, he's obviously, you know, the kids today, they listen to the media, and I think that's what's kind of interesting. I know that you've worked for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and it's always out for debate that the media and marketing really mold what the kids want to wear, what they want to do. And I think with Tiger Woods, it'll be interesting to hear from your perspective, Brian, how he can rebound from this, and do you think he will rebound?
Yeah.
Well, I do think he'll rebound, and maybe not to the apex that he had, but pretty close. He has to do a number of things. First, Beth, your son's reaction. I can tell you from when I promoted the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and more recently Dragon Ball Z, which is something.
Are you
familiar with it because you have sons? That's right.
Yeah.
That was number one on the Cartoon Network, and In children's properties and children's products, animated properties and so forth, there is a likelihood that the reaction of one child, whether that child is in London or Tokyo and Bangkok or Beijing, that reaction will almost be universal. So it's very likely that other 13-year-old boys are saying the same thing about the products that they're wearing reflecting Tiger. His crisis is twofold. One, it's personal. His wife and family were greatly hurt, and he should tend to that. He's a person. That's his life. But he's also a vaulted brand, and that's where his managers, who are great at putting together sports deals, but they're not very athletic when it comes to getting out of the box and reacting to crisis. You know, they were stuck in the starting blocks on that one. There was no preparedness. Now, if these allegations are correct about Tiger, it's likely that some of the management people around him may have been aware of some of this and should have really been preparing.
That's a good point,
I think people don't realize that there's a management team behind all these big celebrities, that they're really fed what to do, what to say, and that has a big reflect on what the actual public see, and I don't think people realize that. And you as a PR guru, PR company, you're a major component in that. Wouldn't you agree, Brian?
Yes, most definitely. You know, in the world, Tiger's a licensed product, and I've represented licensed brands. You mentioned the Turtles, Dragon Ball Z. I've worked with Harvey Entertainment. I handled European licensing group for publicity and so forth.
Right.
The licensed properties gain their success on the thought about the brand and the image of the brand, and they're very, very carefully protected. You know, all you have to do is take a look at Disney as to how it protects its brands. The values that come to a brand through licensing and the monitoring of that property are they grow kind of geometrically. So with respect to Tiger, putting himself out there as a brand, then in the behavior, the personal comportment, so to speak, he's challenging that, who knows, for whatever reason. And around that now tumbles the values of the brand. And he was dropped by major sponsors. Now, Nike didn't drop him, but have you noticed the Nike ad on television lately? No, not featuring Tiger.
Yeah.
You know, we're standing with you because they're thinking of the rebound. Half of Tiger is worth double any other golfer or sports figure out there. Forbes came out with its list last week of the top celebrity sports brands, i.e. mm-hmm. people. And he was number one still at the middle of all of this.
Well, you were mentioning earlier where we got off point was his people weren't prepared.
Not prepared, no.
And so because how could they have been, or what would have been a better approach?
A better approach would have been to really think through all of the possibilities of what could go wrong and then mm-hmm. react as a group, moving those potential responses and how they would act and kind of practice that. With respect to Takeda, which was a brand that I was responsible for in PR until they sold their units, so I handled them for about 10 or 11 years in the U.S. Takeda is number one pharmaceutical company in Japan, and in the U.S. they were number two in nutrition behind Hoffman LaRoche. So they had a nutritional side. That's where I work. They have several plants in North Carolina. I spent a lot of time down there. The plant managers were all prepared. People were all prepared in case of any problem, whether they be a fire or an explosion or a bad batch of product or whatever
right.
it is. And that moved right to the top of Takeda in the U.S., and it also moved over to Japan. Everyone was aware of that, how it would be handled if this happened, if that happened, and so forth. What would be the response?
But it was no secret that Tiger was, you know, catting around. These people all know.
No, I mean, there's many things, there's many precursors to the big event. I mean,
right. So therein lies the rub, as the, you know, as the phrase goes. His managers were asleep at the switch in licensing of a
asleep
famous brand.
I love that, Brian. That is so true. They were definitely dead asleep at the switch.
You know, in licensing of a famous brand, mm-hmm. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to really do deals. You have a hot brand like the Turtles or Dragon Ball Z or Tiger or whatever. Those deals are coming to you.
Right.
So you're considered to be a genius at building a brand when those deals are coming to you.
Right.
Okay. You flip that around and you show it as a problem. What would happen if this and that and such and such? And then that's where you see that there was no magic to that. They were just signing deals. They're not necessarily the best people to be protecting and managing that brand. With respect to the Turtles, the mm-hmm. Wall Street Journal did a story in year three of the popularity of that brand.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, okay, if this follows the pattern of previous brands, this brand will be over soon, probably this
year. I don't
know. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Orders all over the lot stopped. Inventory started to build. There was hesitancy in the market. So we went aggressively day one right back. The Journal ran another story about it, that the next Turtles are likely to be the Turtles. And the manager of the Turtles, the guy who was licensing it, he was featured on page one of the Wall Street Journal in one of those jump page pieces of personality, you know, the guy behind the Turtles and all of that.
Right, the man behind the mask.
But you cannot sit back. You have to go aggressively in protecting your brand and its values and explaining it.
Well, Ryan, just especially into it there, what do you think about these celebrities then that actually build their career on crisis? I mean, it's so true. I mean, look at what is it, Heidi Spencer recently, who's had all those operations. I'm like, it seems to me like every week I pick up a magazine, Us, In Touch, and there's something crisis going on. And like Britney Spears, I mean, she actually recovered from her crisis really, really well and made her brand even stronger because, you know, people love the underdog, you know. And I think sometimes, is that part of the plan? I mean, that this crisis, they put a crisis into their life to make them look larger than, you know, human. It's just interesting for me.
Well, you know, celebrities as such are pretty much, it depends on the level and the type you're talking about. There may be sensational, a desire to have a sensational coverage. But generally speaking, celebrities, as they ascend, Tiger included, and this goes across the board, you'll see it, celebrities are isolated and insulated. They're isolated from the realities of the marketplace, especially sports guys. I mean, these guys are considered heroes from high school up. And so,
right.
And people are agreeing with them. And when there's a great deal of money involved, whether it be Britney Spears or Tiger or whomever, the people around them are agreeing. Oh, yeah, well, great idea. That's fantastic. What they're missing is the normal corrective action that you might feel among your friends and family. When you say something that's totally empty, you'll hear it. Hey, what? Are you kidding me? As opposed to celebrities who, oh, what a brilliant idea. Yeah, that's very insightful. So you see them kind of running to the edge of risk and to the edge of kind of reasonable behavior.
Right.
And when they step over that edge, there's typically an apologetic response. You know, who is it, John?
Right. Well, look at Kobe. I mean, do we all forget quickly what happened with Kobe Bryant? I mean, now he's a superstar. Everyone loves him.
Exactly.
Right.
That was quite the controversy.
In sports, if you have your crisis while you're at your top of your game, you'll be forgiven pretty soon. If
yeah,
it's at the end of your game, such as Roger Clemens, no, they've had it with you. There's no redemption. But if you're still the superstar, then you can redeem. It's especially true in recording business. Singers who are caught in a kind of scandalous situation or saying something really stupid, they're forgiven with the next song.
That's true.
You know, it does not hold true of politicians because their competitors will just beat them over the head with that, you know. So
right. Well, and that's the thing that I find interesting is that if they're the superstar, they really can't do any evil. But if you're right, if they're kind of on the downslope, then all of a sudden everyone's, throwing tomatoes at them, so to speak.
Yeah, no, I mean, at the top of the game, they will get all the coverage. I mean, look at Tiger. He's on every bit of media that there is. But he will recover. He'll go back into the game. He'll win some tournaments.
People forget.
And,
yeah.
You know, he'll... Also, he has to, in my opinion, step up his... engagement with philanthropy. I mean, yes, he's got a golf school. That's great if your kid plays golf. That's great, which is terrific. Most kids
do. He needs to do, like, marital counseling support or something.
Well, that's exactly it. Hit the nail right on the head.
How about
a crisis center for abused women? How about moving take your celebrity and move it into an area that will help people, aggressively help people? And, you know, I think that if he does that, and if he does that even reluctantly, he'll get to enjoy it and see the benefit of it. Because at that level of wealth, what do you have? You don't need more money. You do need better feelings about yourself.
Right, dignity and respect. And I think
dignity
that's interesting.
And respect. And to the respect point, if you want to come full circle there on Toyota, they evidenced the disrespect for their customers in holding back information about the gas pedals, the steering columns, the brake pedals, and so forth. And then when it hit, they focused on a mechanism as opposed to an electronic situation in the car, because that's where the class action suits are going to hit. They were trying to divert attention.
Right, and that's the big problem.
Right, but if your child is playing with a stick in the yard and it's sharp, and you'll go out and take the stick away, or you'll tell them not to do, or her not to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Toyota, number one brand in the world in automobiles, had many, many millions of its drivers customers in cars that may not have been quite safe, yet they didn't make an announcement about it.
Yeah, and that's the problem.
They didn't reach
out.
Now,
before we need to wrap for the show in a couple of minutes, I wanted to just real quick, could you let our listeners know your website, just to find out a little bit more about you and your company, and if they're interested in working with you, what website can they log on to?
DobsonPR.com, DobsonPR.com.
Okay, DobsonPR.com. For another minute or so, tell us what's big projects you're working with right now. Big stuff coming around the bend?
Well, one of my clients is Dr. Barry Sears. He's the best known as the Zone Diet Doctor. He has.
Which will be here in a few weeks. Yeah,
he'll be
on
your show.
We very much know of
that. He has incredibly important products relative to the obesity epidemic, if you will, in the United States and worldwide. Products that are engaged to. Really fulfill your requirements for health that will satiate your appetite. Many obese people, this is a layperson's comment right now, but
right.
Many obese people are not really hungry. They just feel they're hungry. They're not getting the hormonal response that food is, you know, the has great expression on your hormones. So Dr. Sears, has developed foods that initially were for diabetic people so that they could enjoy a wider spectrum of foods, including breads and pasta, in a company he named Medwell for medical wellness, Medwell.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a very narrow market there, and
so that's a big project that we're working on, and I know that you were delightfully booked him on our show at the end of March, so
right,
we're gonna
for the zone diet discussion, right?
That sounds good. Well, we have to wrap for today. We've got about 30 seconds left here, and I just wanted to personally thank you for taking time out of your extremely busy schedule to talk with us. We really enjoyed learning more about what you do and the importance for companies to really have something like this. And next time we talk personally, my husband had a few personal questions about stock things, because I know that was your background in the market. But we really enjoy having you, and we hope that we'll be able to welcome you back again sometime in the future. And
it's wonderful, Brian, to meet you. And
thank you to Tammy Lee Webb for coming on the show today. And Tracy, everyone listening, check out TracyMallett.com, TracyMallett.com. Also, alternately, my website, ForHerInformation.com. We'll look forward to seeing you listening to you in 2 weeks, where we're going to have two more wonderful guests. Until then, have a balanced life. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
You've been listening to A Balanced Life with Beth Aldrich and Tracy Mallett. Listen every other Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Time as Beth and Tracy show you what you've been missing.